This is PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to South and Southeast Asia on 9335 kHz, to listeners in North America on 11880 kHz, and to listeners in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea on 101.9 FM. You're listening to PCJ Radio International. The current time is 1330 UTC.
I'm Andy Sennett, and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Chinese authorities have publicly crushed over 6 tons of ivory in what conservationists say is the first serious attempt by the government in Beijing to show that the nation is cracking down on the trade. China accounts for about 70% of the world's trade in ivory, and it's estimated that more than 20,000 elephants were killed for their tusks last year. Conservationist Tom Milliken from the organization Traffic told Lucy Carter that it's estimated that fewer than 500,000 elephants are left.
China has a legal ivory trade, and up until now, the Chinese government has been focused upon providing an environment where that legal trade can exist. But in doing so, and not carefully regulating the market, there's been a huge upsurge of illegal ivory moving into China. And the event today is really emblematic of the degree of illegal trade going to China.
Do you believe that this burning of over 6 tons of ivory in China signals a shift in the Chinese attitude towards ivory?
Yes, it's the first time that the government has really done something this public. And if you see the photographs, it's not only raw ivory, but the kinds of work products that are available in China. And I think this is, in a country like China, government leadership on an issue like this is hugely important. We're also seeing Chinese celebrities take up this cause. The world-famous basketball player Yao Ming has launched the Don't Buy Ivory campaign. So we're starting to see major movement in the world's largest market for ivory to try to turn people away from, you know, unbridled consumption.
And are you confident that this is actually a change in direction for China rather than, say, a PR move for the global audience?
Well, there's a little bit of both in there, but I do think that at the same time we are seeing increased law enforcement efforts in China. China's making at least 2 ivory seizures every single day. Chinese government is putting a lot of attention now on policing its legal ivory market. Some previously accredited ivory dealers have been arrested and been given like 15-year sentences in prison. Just on a variety of fronts, we're seeing a commitment to stamping out illegal trade.
What would you like the next step to be?
Well, I think you have to create a new mindset that, as we've done in Japan, that, you know, the ownership of ivory is not a status symbol. And I think that when you see important celebrities, including Jackie Chan, moving away from ivory, that has an impact with certain peoples. And I think also the government in a place like China plays a major role in public opinion. And so the event that we just witnessed today is the first time we've seen the government in such a high-profile anti-ivory trade stand. And as that pulses out through the Chinese media today, and hopefully it's going to change Chinese thinking about what ivory really represents.
That was conservationist Tom Milliken from the organization Traffic speaking with Lucy Carter. Human rights campaigners in the Philippines are disappointed over a decision by the Singapore Court of Appeal. The court has ruled that $23 million from the estate of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos belongs to the Philippine National Bank. 2 banks, human rights groups, the Philippines government, and several Swiss-based foundations had lodged rival claims to the money. The court's decision should be the final chapter in the 2-decade-long battle over the ill-gotten gains of a dictator who ruled the Philippines for 21 years until his overthrow in 1986. Karen Snowden reports.
Ferdinand Marcos died in exile in 1989, having stashed overseas some of the billions of dollars he, his relatives and cronies misappropriated. In 2002, Swiss authorities transferred more than $600 million to the Philippines National Bank, or PNB. It was under an escrow agreement, a form of legal safekeeping, and the PNB invested some of the money in the Singapore branch of a German bank, WestLB. In 2004, PNB released funds to the Philippines government, but $23 million remained in Singapore and has been battled over by the rival claimants ever since. Now Singapore's Court of Appeal has upheld a decision that the $23 million belongs to the now privately owned PNB. One of the claimants, representing thousands of victims of the Marcos regime, is CELDA, the Society of Ex-Detainees Against Detention and Arrest. CELDA's chairwoman, Marie Hilao Enriquez, is disappointed.
We don't welcome the decision of the Singapore court in that the decision does not recover for the Philippine government nor for the human rights violations victims, the plundered wealth of the Marcoses.
The Presidential Commission on Good Government has the job of retrieving the Marcos money and was one of the parties to the court case. The head of the commission, Andres Bautista, says as a claimant in the case, the human rights victims served only to drag out the process. He's confident of retrieving all the money now the court has ruled in PNB's favour.
We view this development in a positive light. The ownership actually belongs to the Republic because PNB entered into an escrow agreement with the Republic in the 1990s, wherein it serves as the trustee for the account.
Now that it's been confirmed that PNB is the holder of the money, legitimate holder of the money, how soon before it's returned to the Philippines Treasury and then can be put to use for the victims or for the land reform program?
Right. Well, again, hopefully as soon as possible. Again, these monies have been there for years. Again, we're hoping that no more appeals or no more other tactics or, other legal remedies will be resorted to again further prevent the remittance of these monies back to the Philippine National Treasury.
And then, of course, what's still outstanding is the payment of compensation for victims. A claims board is yet to be formed. Would you support calls for that to be put in place as soon as possible to get this process really moving?
Right. Again, we have been, Presidential Commission on Good Government under the Aquino administration was one of, I believe, the key agencies that pushed for the passage of the human rights compensation law.
Despite the decades of campaigning, it was only in February last year that President Benigno Aquino signed the act that will allow compensation for victims of human rights abuses under Marcos. Marie Hilao Enriquez says the board to process compensation claims should be formed without delay.
We are disappointed because the law would have been signed for 1 year now and it's not yet implemented. So we are urging President Aquino to really, really think about the formation of the claims board so that the law will be implemented now and the money will be distributed to hundreds of thousands of martial law victims, whom many of them are sickly and some are dying already.
Across the world, more than one-third of people are obese or overweight. That's a staggering figure, but even worse is the news that the obesity epidemic is affecting people in developing countries the most. Figures from the Overseas Development Institute show that in the last 30 years, the number of overweight and obese adults in developing countries has more than tripled to 900 million, while in high-income countries, numbers increased by just half as much. The report's co-author, Steve Wiggins, says the growing rates are alarming, and on current trends there will be a huge increase in the number of people suffering from non-communicable diseases, including certain types of cancer, diabetes, strokes, and heart attacks. He speaks next to Wendy Everett.
Asia has the distinction within the developing world of being one of those regions where the incidence of overweight and obese, although it's rising, is rising more slowly and has reached lower levels than we're seeing in other areas of the world. So, for example, if we take the middle-income countries where incomes have increased and waistlines have tended to expand correspondingly, Mexico and Egypt are examples of middle-income countries with two-thirds or more of the people who are overweight and obese. The Republic of Korea, South Korea, that has half the levels of overweight and obesity, and it has probably higher incomes than Egypt and Mexico. So some good things have happened in Asia, and if you prompted me to say what, well, in the case of Korea, it seems that people are sticking closer to the elements of traditional diet than we're seeing in, say, Egypt or Mexico. And, you know, steamed rice, fresh seafood, use of green vegetables in cooking. And the fast foods are coming into Korea, but there is still quite a strong sticking to traditional elements in there, which provide less calories and a more adequate diet for people who are having increasingly sedentary lives.
Could it also be that the traditional diet is in fact a lower calorie, more healthy diet in South Korea than in other countries?
Yes, indeed. Some elements of those traditional diets in Asia are probably ideal for people who spend their lives in an office, yes, you know, with relatively small amounts of fat in them, relatively small amounts of sugar. These are probably far better diets for people who are not leading vigorous and active life where you've got manual work dominating.
One of the major concerns is the health implication of poor diets and obesity and the enormous burden on public healthcare systems. Yet the report warns that governments are not doing enough to tackle the growing crisis. Why do you think they're reluctant to interfere?
There's several reasons that explain that. The first is that the problem that we're looking at is it's a rising tide, but it's under the radar, so to speak. It's not something that results in spectacular events. It doesn't produce natural disasters. It doesn't produce famines. It's a problem that creeps up on us, and it doesn't hit the headlines. So there isn't necessarily anything that's triggering politicians, because politicians are not put on the spot and forced to come up with some kind of initiative to deal with it. And then, of course, there are the obvious things on the political calculus. Who wants to take on the lobbies that will come from some parts of the food industry, some parts of agriculture, which say government has no right to talk about diets and influence people's diets? That's purely individual choice. And who wants to take on consumers who quite naturally do not want to see government in their dining rooms and in their kitchens? I don't want government telling me what I can eat. I don't mind some advice. I don't mind some nudging. But people are very wary of a situation where the state starts dictating this. So for all of those reasons, you know, not enough pressure to act, plus reluctance to enter an area which is likely to be controversial, means that government reactions pretty much across the world have been fairly timid with respect to the social time bomb that overweight and obesity represent.
Yet you do point out that governments have led the way in efforts to limit smoking, say, in many countries. And though diet is a more diverse and complex issue than smoking, what kind of scope could there be for governments to take the lead in improving diets and therefore containing that likely blowout in health costs?
The first thing we need to understand is that for many people, the problem of an expanding waistline is not the result of a very bad diet. It's the result of a diet which is just a little bit more than adequate in terms of calories compared to their activity level. So for many people, we don't have to radically change their diet. It's shifting the diet a little bit in one direction. And that tells us that we may get to the policy goal of limiting the rise of overweight and obesity by nudging people, not shoving them, nudging them. And we can nudge them through information and education. We can regulate against certain foods in food processing. We can regulate the advertising of certain foods to children. And last but not least in the arsenal of public policy, we can perhaps change some of the prices of high-risk foods against the healthier options so that the healthier options become cheaper rather than being the more expensive options for people. And we do that, of course, through taxes and possibly by offsetting subsidies for the more healthy foods.
And with that, we end this edition of Focus Asia Pacific. For more information on the region, you can visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com/FAP, or send us your comments and questions to focus@pcjmedia.com. Coming up next on PCJ Radio International, our weekly Happy Station show. I'm Andy Sennett.
Keith Perron here from PCJ Radio International. Are you looking for a new portable shortwave receiver? Well, if you are, I would like to suggest Texan. Texan is one of the world's leading manufacturers of shortwave radios. Popular radios like the PL660, S2000, and so many more. Texan radios can be found at a number of fine electronic retailers worldwide. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Texan banner for more information on all their models. Texan, enjoy broadcasting.
This is the sound of PCJ. PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
Well, it's Sunday again. Good morning, good afternoon, my friends. It's very nice to be with you for, well, the next little while, right until 14:30 UTC, right here on your Sunday family show of Smiles Across the Miles, The Happy Station Show. There are a lot of things that we need to talk about today and get to. Let's do it by checklist, okay? Number one, we're giving a shortwave receiver away today. It's a shortwave receiver that only recently came out from Texan, and it's the PL880, the PL880. And if you want to have a chance to win, just send us your name and your phone number to the following email address, pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. And name and phone number, and we will call the winner up at around 14:20 and 14:23 UTC. But you know, remember like last week we called up somebody first and they didn't answer. It went to voicemail. You have to be able to answer. Right. No voicemail. You know, no second chances. The first person who answered the phone is the winner. So do send it off. pcjcontest@gmail.com. Well, I want to wish, of course, everyone either a good morning, for example, in the United States and Canada right now, And also those in Latin America who are just waking up having their morning coffee. Hopefully, this is not too strange for you. I mean, waking up with me in the morning. And I say that because a number of years ago, I used to do a show in Montreal called Waking Up with Keith Perron. And my line on the show used to be, good morning and welcome to Waking Up with Keith Perron. And hopefully you didn't go to bed with me. And I used to begin every show like that. So hopefully you didn't. If you did, I feel sorry for you. So good morning to all our friends in the United States, and also good evening to our friends here in Asia who are listening on our usual frequency of 9335 kilohertz. This week's show, as you probably have gathered so far, is live again. And I'll explain a little bit later on in the show why we have been doing these live transmissions and what you can expect from us in the year 2014. Our first piece of music today is going out to a regular listener of ours who, for the most part, has always had a lot of difficulty in listening to us. But apparently now that we're in winter, and where he is, they're actually in summer. I'm talking about Australia. It's a very hot summer, by the way. And I was watching the news reports, and they were reporting temperatures of like 38 to 40 degrees centigrade, which is bleh. I know what that's like because we get that here in Taiwan, but with 100% humidity. So this is actually going out to our good friend, Michael Stevenson. I was thinking something else. Michael Stevenson, all the way in Port Macquarie in Australia. I know that you're in Eastern Australia, but the only song about Australia that I can find in the last 5 minutes was a song about South Australia. So just leave where you are right now and move to South Australia, Michael. Here going out to Michael Stevenson and all our friends down under today, South Australia, The Seekers, on your program, The Happy Station.
In South Australia, I was born. Heave away, all away. In South Australia, round Cape Horn, bound for South Australia. Heave away, you rolling kings, heave away, haul away, heave away, oh hear me sing, bound for South Australia.
When I sailed across the sea, heave away, haul away, my girl said she'd be true to me, bound for South Australia.
Heave away, you rolling kings, heave away, haul away, heave away, oh hear me sing, bound for South Australia.
When we lollop round Cape Horn, heave away, haul away, you'd wish to God you'd never been born, bound for South Australia.
Heave away, you rolling kings, heave away, haul away, heave away, or hear me sing, bound for South Australia.
Wish I was on Australia's strand,
heave away, haul away,
with a glass of whiskey in my hand,
bound for South Australia. Heave away, you rolling kings, heave away, haul away, heave away, or hear me sing, bound for South Australia. In South Australia I was born, heave away, haul away, in South Australia, round Cape Horn, bound for South Australia. Heave away, you rolling kings, heave away, haul away, heave away, or hear me sing, bound for South Australia.
South Australia, The Seekers, going out to our good friend Michael Stevenson all the way in Australia. And just a few moments ago, as that song was playing, I received a message on Facebook from our friend Victor Gunatelica, who was telling me that apparently CNR, which is China National Radio, has started to jam us on that frequency. Now, I don't know if that is intentional or it is just a mistake, but while that song was playing, I tuned on to a radio that I have not too far away from me, and sure enough, I heard something. I'm like, wait a second, am I playing classical music by mistake, and I didn't even know it? Well, we'll see what happens, but hopefully it's reaching to other areas, but I think, we'll look into it. I'll speak to Victor later on this week, and we'll see what we can do. All right, well, it's now time to go into this week's mailbag. All right, now, what do we have this week? Actually, we have quite a few things that have come in. And our first one is from a listener in the United States by the name of Miss Carly Forsythe. She lives in Madison, Wisconsin. And she said, I received your broadcast. We just got this, by the way, on December the 22nd from 8:30 in the morning to 9:30 in the morning. And it was included a song from Tom Meyer, which you're correct, the Chipmunks, and of course myself reading the story. I never knew PCJ had a Christmas broadcast until this year. Well, actually, that Christmas broadcast is something that we run every year, at a, usually before Christmas, or if Christmas falls on a Sunday, also on a Sunday. If my reception report is valid, please send me a QSL card of your station. Well, don't worry, Carly, we have already sent that out to you. Next, actually, hello to Hiroshi Kayatama in Japan, to Dieter Kunst, who lives in Frensburg, Germany. And this is from when we did the 2 weeks transmissions to Germany via Nauen. So thank you very much for that. And today, or sorry, this past week, I received, this is our first ever letter from a listener in Luxembourg. Yes, a letter from a listener in Luxembourg. And this person is what I would call very professional. His name is Arnold Heiles. And his reception report, I mean, too bad this isn't television, because this is what I call a perfect reception report with program details. So he listened to the whole thing. Simpo and everything. So thank you very much, Arnold, for that. He included a nice little letter here, which I'll read just a little bit from you. Dear Mr. Keith Powell, by chance I logged to your program this Sunday afternoon, and I found that you mentioned your program from Sunday to 13:30 to 14:30. I knew that Happy Station show from the days of Radio Nederland, and it was a good idea to give the show new life. Yes, we actually gave it new life. We took out the paddles, charged them up, and gave the show a jolly good zap. That's exactly what we did. Arnold, by the way, also included some very nice, I would say, beautiful, even artistic stamps from Luxembourg. Very, very nice indeed. So thank you very much, Arnold, for that. Hello to Richard B. Langley in, where is it? Here we go, New Brunswick in Canada. And he also wrote in to say that he tuned to the test transmission that we had on Saturday, which was yesterday, between 13:30 UTC. Thank you very much for that. Apparently, he was at work. You know, I just picture it. He was at work, had the headphones on, and he's, you know, there's some sound and some static coming through, and people in his workplace are going, yes, this guy must be a spy. Yes. Next time I'll call out numbers. How about that? Okay? 3, 3, 3. I can't count higher than that. 4. Anyway. Next to John M. Fisher in the United States, in Massachusetts. Hello to you. Hello to Ge Hua Biens, who lives in Arnhem in Belgium. And he was listening last week via the transmission from Okeechobee on 11880. So apparently that transmission from Okeechobee was making its way there. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. He was listening via a remote tuner in the United States. Well, that still counts. It still counts. I know that that frequency of 11880 has been received in some very strange places. So anyway, let us know. Next, actually, hello to Thomas Alley. Thomas Alley in Belleville, Ohio. Thank you to you. He was listening to us in his basement using a small wire antenna to improve quality. Well, I mean, I used to live in a basement apartment a number of years ago, and I know from experience that shortwave reception in the basement apartment can be, if at not trying. And finally, to Richard A. Delangio in Wyomissing. Is it Wyomissing? I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, in the United States. Well, thank you to everyone we mentioned. Of course, and a thank you, of course, to everyone we didn't mention. But Victor Gunatelica and myself will reply with our QSL very shortly. Some of you may have already received them. And we're trying to do as much as we can before Chinese New Year sets in, because in two weeks' time, everything here in Taiwan will basically shut down for Chinese New Year. Everything. And to get anything done, it's a little bit of a hassle. That's the only thing I can say about that. I mean, okay, the stores are open, but banks are closed and post office is closed. So we'll do our best to get those out. If you want to send a reception report, if you have a music request, if you just want to say hello, this is how you do it. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. If you want to write via snail mail, our postal address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road. That's S-A-N-M-I-N, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taiwan, 22070. All right. Now, before we get to our next piece of music today, somebody did ask me, they said, why don't you just get a P.O. box number instead of reading out the Gettysburg Address all the time? Well, there is actually a very simple reason for that. Getting a P.O. box number here in Taiwan is not always easy, because they don't issue new ones. So the only way to get a P.O. box is, well, when somebody dies or something, or somebody gives it up. So we are on a waiting list. I mean, it would be a lot easier if we just said PCJ Radio International, P.O. Box, blah, 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 Taipei, Taiwan. Instead of going, blah, 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 that's our address, the show's over, goodbye, so long, you know? Okay, time now for some music. And this is a song that I have played before, but it is one of my favorite songs from the world of Bollywood cinema. The movie is called Hari Rama Hari Krishna. It stars Devon Ann, who also wrote it, produced it, and directed it. And it is the title song, one of the hit songs from it, Dam Marodam, performed by Asha Bolse.
Yeah.
A song from one of my favorite Bollywood movies of all time, Hare Krishna Hare Rama, directed, produced, and also starred and co-written by one of the giants of Indian cinema by the name of Dev Anand. And it is a movie, by the way, I would suggest you watch. And I know that there's sort of a, you know, some people would say sort of this, people go, oh, Bollywood movies, they're all the same. Well, okay, that is true. There are so many musicals, you know, they're all musicals. But this is one that has a real solid story, a real solid story. I just want to remind you again about the radio that we're giving away today. We're going to be announcing the winner just after 1420 UTC. It's a Texan PL880, a Texan PL880. Send us your name and phone number to the email address pcjcontest@gmail.com. Well, we're now going to talk to a listener. Now, this is a guy, and I kind of wonder where he lives. And the reason why I say that, because we'll receive a reception report from him. One day he sends it from Japan. The next minute he sends it from the United States. And I remember one time he sent it from the United States and said, now I'm back in Japan, or something like that. Well, I'm talking actually about somebody who has been on the show before. His name is Sake Obara. Hello, Sake.
Hey, hello. Good morning, Keith.
And how is your morning?
Well, yeah, today not bad. I think we have sunshine here in New Jersey, northern New Jersey in the United States. Local time is the 9 a.m., the Sunday morning.
Right. Now, I was just mentioning, because you are from Japan, and
yes.
You also listen. How often do you travel between Japan and the United States?
Well, currently, I think probably almost every other month, I kind of back and forth in Japan and the U.S. That's kind of my style of my job.
Ah, so it's your job. So how long have you been going to the United States then?
Well, I moved to, currently I'm a non-permanent resident in the United States. And I just moved, I think been almost 1 year.
Right. You know, I remember, I think it was either last year or the year before that I was asking listeners to send in audio clips that we will use on the show. And I remember the one that you sent in, where you sent it in and you were jogging. And I remember, because it came in and I really didn't have a chance to listen to it in full. And it was on, and my engineer who's in the next room, he looked at me and he said, "It sounds like something else is going on here."
I see. Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
So when is your next trip back to Japan?
Well, I think probably sometime in February. I have some project there, and I just came back to Japan during the New Year's Day. I missed the previous two live shows of Happy Station, so I can be stay at home,
right,
to listen to your program. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sake, for tuning in today. You know, I told somebody earlier, I said, today we're going to kill two birds with one stone, because this is actually a listener from Japan who listens in Japan, and he's now in the United States, so we're calling up effectively, you can say, two places, two countries.
Okay.
All right, Sake, well, thank you very much. The next song is going out to our friend Sake Obara, and it's the 1960s classic Rescue Me by Fontana Bass.
I need
Rescue Me, the fantastic Fontella bass here on your program, Happy Station. Well, just a quick reminder again, we're going to be announcing who the winner is of the PL880. We're going to call you up. We're going to be calling the winner up. So you have to stand by your phone. We do that in a few minutes, but you can still send your emails. You still have time before we do a draw. Now, the names come in, the phone numbers, we write them on a little piece of paper, we put them into a bowl, and then just before we call, we reach in and then dial the number who's ever on that piece of paper. The email address to send your name and phone number to is pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. Now, I want to take a moment, actually, to talk to you about something, about the live broadcasts that we have been doing. Now, there is a reason for doing them. First of all, we wanted to see if we can do it. That was the first reason. The next reason, of course, and it's the more biggest one, kind of, we're finally going to be moving into a bit of a bigger office space. And we have to put more servers in place and all kinds of technical gadgets, just not just for our own streams, but also to run our website and our internet activities, because we're limited right now with what we can do, and we need to expand on that. So the way we do this is all the stations that have been relaying us, for example, right now, just the three that are relaying us right now, each of them have individual IP numbers that we send them to receive the audio. So they're listening to the audio on a specific IP just for them. Nobody else is using it. Now, this, of course, will mean our expansion into a streaming 24 hours online, which is what we plan to do this year at some point. Now, I want to announce today that from next week onward, we're going to be taking a short break from our shortwave schedule. Now, there's a reason for that. First of all, Chinese New Year is just around the corner. Number two, I have a television gig that I have to do, which I do every year at the same time. Number three, I'm going to be traveling. So we're going to stop it for a little bit, but don't worry, we're going to be coming back. And when we come back after the Chinese New Year, we're going to do something really fun. That's all I'm going to say right now. Really, really fun. Now, I know that there are some people listening right now that'll say, yeah, but you should be there all the time. Yeah, but you know what? This is my feeling, okay? I mean, we've seen shortwave stations dropping off like flies and everything, and people say, oh, nobody listens. But, you know, how about making it special? You know, during the summer, we took a short break while I was on vacation. Our programs went out as normal to our partner stations because that's actually a lot easier to do because we can record a whole bunch of them in advance and the stations can just download them. But for us to do live transmissions is actually, it's easy, but it takes a lot of planning from our side. And moving into our new space and upgrading our servers and putting more capacity, we're going to have something extraordinary when we come back. So don't worry about it. Really, don't worry about it, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you right now. The next thing is just to talk a bit about our own shortwave transmitter site that we're building here in Taiwan. Well, finally this past week, the last bit of paperwork was done so we can receive the 5 kilowatt from RIS transmitters in Croatia. It was a bureaucratic nightmare. A bureaucratic nightmare, that's putting it mildly. And before RIS can actually crate it, which they haven't done yet, they're doing that next week, crate it, put it onto a ship, and then send it to Taiwan, we had to make sure that every bit of paperwork at our end was okay to import it into Taiwan. And I think my hair, which was a little gray before, has gone completely white. It was a bureaucratic nightmare. Anyway, it's finally done. And we told RIS to crate it up next week, and then they're going to drop it into a container. Hopefully they don't drop it into a container, but they load it carefully into a container, and then ship it to Taiwan. And pretty soon, I will be uploading some pictures about how the construction looks at the site. There's still a lot of work, and the reason why work has stopped a few times is because of weather. As you're probably aware, we're in a typhoon zone and an earthquake zone, and we have to follow certain building codes. But if the ground is wet, they can't work because the ground is too unstable and solid. They have to wait till it's dry, and then they can do it. And I think by the end of it, I'm going to be 80 years old. I'm going to look, well, I'll still be 43, but I'll look like a man who's 83, if I'm not already there yet. Okay, time now for music. And when we come back, we're going to be calling up who the winner is of that PL880. Now, you still have 5 minutes, a whole 5 minutes to send us an email. Okay, you have 5 minutes left. The email address is pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. So you still have time while the next song is playing, which is 5 minutes, and it's Gloria Gaynor with I Am What I Am. Yes, the wonderful Gloria Gaynor, and I Am What I Am, here on your program, Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Well, it's now time to draw, and as that just 10 seconds ago, just as the music was fading down, somebody reached in, grabbed a paper with a piece of name on it, and they're now entering the phone number of that person. So hopefully they will answer. So hopefully they will answer. So let's see if they do pick up. If not, we have to go to the next one. I should let you know, of course, when you do call, when we do call you, please make sure that you turn the sound on your radio down.
Hello.
Hello, may I speak to T.R. Rajesh, please?
Yes, I'm Rajesh.
Hello, T.R. It's Keith here at PCJ Radio International.
Hello, Keith.
How are you?
I just on ringing this number, I understood.
Well, I just want to say congratulations. You've won the PL 880.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I am very much surprised to know that I have won that radio.
Well, congratulations to you. We will contact you after the show so we can get all your details from you so we can send it off to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there we go. Now, I have some really good news for you. What was I going to say? Oh, no. I think I'll keep that as a surprise for when we come back. You know, it's the kind of thing sometimes you find, you know something and you want to start talking about it right away. And I'm thinking, I think I'm going to wait. I have some really good news about something. Now, if you want, of course, find out what that is, you can follow us on our Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio. Before we go, I just want to do a shout out actually to some people that have posted some messages on Facebook. Apparently, 11835 is having its ups and downs today. I don't know what's going on with that. We had that interference from CNR, which was like 10 minutes. And 11835, there was some frequency mix-ups with my alter ego, Brother Stare. And it's coming, it's going. I don't know. We'll find out what's going on with that, and we'll post it later on. I do want to say hello to Dan Sebnick in the United States. Hello to you. Also to Neil Hendricks, who's tuning to us in South Africa. Shippe Garg, I believe is the pronunciation of your name. Hello to you. And hello to our good friend Partha. All the way in India as well. And of course, everybody else that we just couldn't get to. We just couldn't get to every single person. Anyway, that's almost it actually for today. But like I said, we're going to be taking a short break for a bit. I have a million and one things that I have to do for Chinese New Year. And this TV show is something that I do every year. And it is... I'm just glad that nobody can do a search for the name in Chinese. It's kind of embarrassing. It's a variety show that I do here in Taiwan for Chinese New Year. And we're starting rehearsals on Monday. And then we do it live on Chinese New Year's Eve, which is the 31st of January. And it's a five-hour television show. And it is interesting. It's the only thing I can say about it. Send us your reception reports, PCJQSL at PCJmedia.com, PCJQSL at PCJmedia.com. All right, today we are going to end with a song, which is a very nice song, from a singer by the name of Cesaria Evora. She is from, where is she from again? Angola. I believe she's from Angola. I could be mistaken. She sings in Portuguese, and this is a very nice song, and I hope you enjoy it. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Pellon saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Olha, que madura de amor que te invocação. Olha, que mas se for sem mal da chuva,
y cada noche un planta no puede nacer. Hoy a que madur de amor que tiempo casa. Hoy a que más se force más de chuva. Y cada noche un planta no puede nacer. Mas vida pregunta pra mim, enganar dar volta, negar resposta, um ter vergonha. Mas vida pergunta pra mim, enganar.
You are listening to a program in English from PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners in Southeast and East Asia on 9335 kilohertz, and to listeners in North America on 11880 kilohertz, and to listeners in Papua New Guinea in Port Moresby on 101.9 FM. For more information on our programs, visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Thank you for listening, and good night and good morning.